Is this a preamble bit where...
I suppose it is, isn't it? Oh, I've got pizza.
No, I'll have a bit of pizza, Dave. How is the pizza?
Have you got one left?
Well, eat it then, dickhead.
You want it?
No, it's fine.
You want it?
No, I'm good. I've just had a kebab wrap.
A crap.
A crap. I've just had a crap in your office. Oh, what is it? Oh, I just broken my hand. He's dropped his giant fucking pizza on it.
Yeah,
it's a piece.
Oh, go in then. Can I have a thin one?
So you like something better?
Thin one.
No, it's because yours is fucking margarita green on.
Hey, margarita.
Why? Just do it.
Why are you reaching? Okay, then.
Just do it.
Hello, and welcome back to Cinema Tree. Our fucking. And now your boxes are ruined everything.
Oh, you're a fucking man.
Dickhead. That was like my best start and all. Are we ready now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? Right. Hello, and welcome to Cinema Tree. Our fortnightly look at horror remakes, sequels, and whatever else, maybe. An adaptation? Probably not. Joining me, as always, is with his mouth full of pizza, it's Dave Walker.
Hello.
Oh, you've swallowed that pizza. Jolly good.
Ah, you've swallowed. Fantastic.
Ah. Sounds a bit rude.
Oh.
And to my right is Rob Yeomans.
Hello, Chris Wilson. How are you, mate?
Yes, I'm doing fine, thanks.
Excellent.
How's the pizza?
It's very nice. I'm just polishing it off now.
Wilson always sounds like you've just got in from work, you're married, and he's just been through your text messages.
Hello, yeah.
Hello, Rob. How are you doing? I'm fine, thanks. How's your pizza? You piece of shit.
Have you shared that pizza with some slut else?
Leaving me alone in this house for 8 hours, 10 hours. Where have you been, Rob? Where have you been?
I've been ironing your shirts all day, tying all your shoelaces.
What are you doing?
Probably some flight mode because.
No, sorry, were you interrupting something?
No, WhatsApp's being a shit.
Oh, okay.
You just look really intense, like someone was going down.
Yeah. I
got a text off the president. 1 second.
I was trying to do it seamlessly, as not to give you an extra job in the edit. Like you're going to edit any of this out? Just going to make you look completely unprofessional.
I do that with all of us. I don't need to make it happen, do I?
So we say
a lack of editing doesn't. It's not my fault if your bell ends because I'm not editing it.
So you're saying we're not professionals at all, then?
I didn't say that, did I? I know you're going to take it so personally.
I don't mind.
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks over here, don't give a shit. I know you...
I don't mind! I don't even know what that was. That was...
What? Oh, man!
It's more like Yoda, that.
I was about to say, yeah. Or some of a Star Wars spaceman thing. Anyway.
What's going down this week, Willie?
Well, this week I thought we'd go back in time.
Whoa!
Although technically we're going back in time any film that we look at. But this one is our oldest film yet. It is 1958's Dracula, or Horror of Dracula, if you're from the Americans.
Now, I've got a feeling this is going to ignite some debate, because knowing you both quite well as I do, we are now 12 years deep, lads, as friends.
Yeah,
and I believe that... You won't like this, Dave, but I think you might like it, Wilson.
Ooh.
Find out this
week. Have you got a feeling?
Yeah.
I've got a feeling you're going to... I predict you're going to be okay with absolutely everything until the third act where it all falls out of its arse. That is staple Rob Yeomans.
It is staple Rob Yeomans, but...
And you're going to quote the contrivance and the cliche of a week.
Yeah.
I think convoluted is going to be the C word this week.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Ooh.
The third act issue might be more like halfway through, we'll see.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Oh, like more of an insight and instant issue. Or...
Yeah. Plenty to get our teeth into, aren't there, this week? The stakes are pretty high with this one.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Oh, dear. Stop sucking up.
Oh.
Garlic. Bloody hell.
Hey!
Garlic.
There's too many puns going on here for me. Thank you very much.
We're in some grave circumstances
here. Oh, we're.
Hey. Contextualise, Wilson.
Yeah.
Shoveling along.
Why you done do this?
I don't know, really. Yeah, I got asked to make a film and I thought, I know. Let's go for one. Another one I've actually seen before, which mm-hmm. is like 3 out of 5 of now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is not bad for me.
That's yeah. pretty good for you, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to somehow watch a lot of films without watching any films, so. Yeah.
You can always count on Wilson to pick a different option.
Bad end.
Come in, dickhead, on you go.
I've seen a few other Hammer horror films over the years. Mm-hmm. We all get a bit samey, if I'm being honest, but...
The quality takes a fucking steep nosedive.
It does a bit,
to be honest. Once you start getting into, like, gypsies, lesbian, tit-fest, wolfman...
Yeah.
I mean, it only took him about 15 years to go that far down. Yeah.
Yeah. But considering, like, what, like... 4 or 5 core creatures they had, and we just kept going through the same ones over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
Christopher Lee, like, increasingly thinking, doing it for money. Think of Barbados. Yeah. Think of a speedboat.
Yeah.
It's almost like they had this whole shared universe thing sort of going on, in a sense, and they sort of kept doing the same things with the same characters over and over again, and it became quite tired.
Yeah.
Marvel!
oh, dear.
Comparisons are there.
Ooh, yes.
Shots fired at the nerds.
Oh, my God.
Shots fired. Just saying, take note, Marvel. Don't go down this road.
Just sack off continuity and make good films.
Yeah, just make films, you know.
Just make films.
Stand alone. No.
Yeah, I don't have to pay a cinema fee to watch a TV series. Anyway.
Yeah. Interestingly, I don't own this one.
Oh. Not in any dead format?
No, I own 6 other Hammer Dracula films, but not this one.
And which fonts do you own then? VHS? Betamax? Laserdisc? HDVD?
VHS.
Nice.
25 pence each. It's cheaper than a DVD.
I made purchase of the shiny Blu-ray on this one, and it had 2 restorations on it. It had the 2008 BFI restoration.
Fantastic.
And it had the 2012 Hammer restoration. I watched the 2012 Hammer restoration.
Is that the one where he claws his face off?
Yes.
With the red stuff underneath. Nice. Did not get that one.
No.
Yeah. I watched it on Vimeo illegally because I'm a cheapskate.
Yeah, which doesn't have that footage. I watched that one as well.
No, it doesn't, no.
No.
I wish you'd just fucking buy a film.
Giving it all this, ooh, dead format Dave. Do you own anything, Wilson?
No.
Apart from your banana t-shirt.
But you got rid of all your records as well, haven't you?
Yeah. White man in yellow t-shirt.
No, I'm still... Look, every time you mention a yellow t-shirt, you just expose it to record all these in bulk. You know.
I just want to put across the idea that you always wear a yellow t-shirt.
I do, actually. I own about 5 yellow t-shirts now. I had a yellow vest on earlier on, but it turns out it was overcast in York. So, beautiful blazing sunshine in Grimsby, so I was going to come here with my guns out, my yellow vest, but no.
As soon as you get out of the car, wish you'd brought your jacket.
I work in quite a rural location, and I wore a yellow t-shirt to work the other week. I got fucking swarmed by midges.
Really?
Something to watch out for, Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You did say midges, right? Not midgets.
Not midgets, that was the day after.
Oh, fuck! they're like Matador bulls, mate, but they're enraged by yellow.
Most people are midgets to me, Dave. It's all relative.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah. Tall guys, you know.
Tall guys got to stick together, aren't you, Wilson?
Yeah. So, no, I don't own any films.
Anyway,
have you seen the size of my room at home?
No, I haven't.
Fucking shoebox. Oh,
I think it's time I think it's time we started hammering home some of the messages.
Horrible.
Oh. Beautiful.
Sorry, I'll stop talking.
Right, shall we get on with the film?
Yep.
Right, firstly, this is a film so old that the credits are before the film begins.
Absolutely, it harkers back to an older time.
You're the one editing this, so you realise that.
I know, mate, I'm just in for it now, it's fine.
What was your idea about Jim Duggan's soundboard? Like, do 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 ho!
Yeah, just to get a little app there, I can just dink it.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of it happening, just a giant red bun, like, slam.
Just a big red nose on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right about the credits, though, Wilson.
Yep.
They are like proper classic, over-the-top Hammer with mad fucking trumpet music and blood red titles.
Loads of dots as well.
And you got a Nazi eagle, bit of a Nazi font going on. Mm-hmm. Not sure which one to imply here. Then they pan over to Dracula's tomb where someone chucks some red paint at it.
This film is in colour.
Ah.
If you haven't noticed, it's in colour. I think it's the first Dracula film in colour.
I think
that's why they've done it, yeah.
Yeah, they've proper gone over the top on the crimson, haven't they?
It looks like someone's like been rummaging around in your Warhammer kits, taking all the reds
stop
out.
Stop rummaging around.
You've walked in like to paint a dragon, you've gone, where the fuck have all the reds gone? Yeah, Von Dracula's tomb. Sorry, Dave. Yeah.
That's all right. As long as the film's good.
Anyway... We start with the diary of Jonathan Harker, explaining that he's the new librarian, a great opportunity up in this crazy old mansion in the middle of nowhere, it's somewhere in Germany, even though everyone speaks perfect Queen's English for some reason.
Yes, the whole film is set in Germany, I found out.
It is, yeah. But yeah, there's only one vaguely German person in there, that's the dumbass maid, but we'll get onto her later on.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to the production design of both the interior and exterior of Dracula Castle. Thought it was fucking brilliant looking.
I really like the exterior. It was like really spooky and such, but the insides, and this is a problem with films like the old films on sound stages.
Looks like the fucking Tinkerboo factory, mate.
It does.
Do you remember the Tinkerboo factory?
Yeah, yeah. You're like Pleasure Island represent.
I just loved the unnecessarily fucking over the top nature of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the problem with the soundstage is that it looks like vast, but it also looks incredibly flat and like there's nothing in there.
Yeah.
You know, it could be like, they could be tripping over shit on the floor for like all the stuff in there and it'd still look empty just due to the way it's laid out. And also throughout the film, for like you talk about 95% of the shots, it's all like flat. Like how they still like film sitcoms now, there's clearly no fourth wall there.
Yeah.
And they don't like go around the room or anything like that, they just shoot it quite flat.
That's because all the walls in Dracula's house are plastered. There's no bricks. There's no stones. It's all just fucking plaster.
One thing I'd like to get you guys take on, especially yours, Dave, is the score. Because I really like it. I just like how fucking ridiculously over the top it is.
To be honest, I've got a compilation of Hammer scores, and this is on there, and I do really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, at times it's quite... It's old, it's mixed, very abrasive. Mm. Even when people are writing letters and it needs to be a little bit mysterious, there's still someone chucking violins around in front of a megaphone. It's so loud. But that's part of the charm. I quite like it.
Yeah. I like Dracula's sort of like theme when he's quite angry later on. It's sort of like a pop, 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 pop,
apparently pop. The composer... the whole time he did the theme, it's a three-note theme, and he just kept shouting Dracula when he was doing it. Dracula! The most literal theme ever.
You should do that for every single film.
Should really. Should
absolutely.
Be. Paranormal Activity 2. Harker arrives and he sits about for a bit. I mean, he's told to like, help us with some food. Not sure you're supposed to chuck that log in the fire. You know, that could be Dracula's special log. You don't know.
I did find it funny. He just helps himself to a fucking big log.
Yeah.
Just lobs it in. Yeah.
What else could I kindle? Ooh, this priceless statue.
That's a kindling.
That's a kindling.
And we encounter a rather buxom woman, shall we say, because that's how she's supposed to look.
Yep.
Practically naked. For 1958 standards, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
By 2008 standards, it's like she's wearing a potato sack or something.
Yeah. This becomes something that just gets more and more and more of a thing for... for Hammer, doesn't it? It does.
You think of this as a pilot, and it goes quite well.
Yes, quite. Yeah.
The woman who, spoiler, in the quick post credits afterwards is just referred to as Vampire Woman.
Yep, brilliant, nice. Yep.
Just, you know, make it quite
specific. Just in case.
Yeah, yep. just in case you don't get it.
Yep. She is both a woman and a vampire.
Yep. So, she says to Harker, you know, help me get out, I'm trapped. And Harker's like, I don't understand.
He just spends the whole time smiling.
Yeah.
Just confused as fuck about everything that's going on.
Yeah. I found this sequence really creepy. He was like, there, it's all right, we'll sort you out. In a kind of, fuck off, go away.
Yeah.
It was so bizarrely delivered.
You're not my problem, wench. Sort of.
Yeah.
It's like, she's literally saying, Dracula's keeping me captive. And he's like, but I don't understand what you're trying to say. He's keeping me prisoner. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a perfectly logical explanation for all this.
Yes, why do you have a glass of water and sit down?
You must stop getting worked up.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you come in. My name's Jonathan Harker. I'm the new librarian.
You will help me, won't you? Say you will, please.
How can I help you?
Get me away from here.
But why?
He's keeping me prisoner.
Who is? Count Dracula? I'm afraid I don't understand.
Oh, please. Please help me to escape.
And stiff upper lip Queen's English continues as Dracula appears.
Yep.
Obviously played by Christopher Lee.
Mr. Harker, I'm glad that you've arrived safely.
Count Dracula.
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house. I must apologize for not being here to greet you personally, but I trust that you have found everything you needed.
Thank you, sir. It was most thoughtful.
It was the least that I could do after such a journey.
Yes, it is a long journey.
And tiring for you, no doubt. Permit me to show you to your room.
Thank you, sir.
And it's like, oh, I'm terribly sorry I'm late, I've been blah, 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 and... if you kind of like to accompany you to a bedroom, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
I really like this sequence.
It's iconic, though.
Yeah.
It is fucking iconic, that entrance of Christopher Lee.
It is. I think it's my favourite thing in the entire film.
Yeah.
He's right at the top of the staircase, and you think it's going to be like a monstrous reveal, but he just kind of swoops down and introduces himself really pleasantly. It's all in one nice little shot.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Like, good day to you, sir. Yeah.
His pleasantness is a surprise.
Mm. Yeah,
I think it's given away with the voiceover on the letter earlier. I don't really care for that much.
No.
It's
the charm, isn't it?
And is it a bit more of a pop, pop, pop?
Yeah, yeah.
Introduce him as well, so like, sort of gives the game away, you know.
Yeah.
And not that anyone's expecting differently, but we sort of know, you know, it's a bad guy here.
Yeah.
And I quite like this little bit as well, because we've got a bit of a geography in there.
Mm.
Like, establishing all the scenes. Did you want to take us through it? I mean, it's just a couple of stairs and a bedroom, really. But
yeah, there's a living, there's like a big dining hall area, door on the left, sort of thing. Massive staircase that goes up. There's some mystery doors along the wall for the staircase where Dracula kind of pops in and out of Scooby-Doo style.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put the Scooby-Doo theme in there; it's been done to death.
Yep.
And at the top of the stairs, there's a balcony with some spirally weird column shit, and then at the end is Harker's room.
Yeah,
it's all very nice.
Yeah.
Nice and simple.
It does the job.
Yeah.
Again, going back to the production design, like, I'm fucking going to bat for the production design on this film, because I think it's fucking gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a real sort of gorgeous kind of eroding gothic splendor to it that I fucking thought it looked beautiful.
It's like a decrepit sort of Candy Town look, isn't it? Like if Wizard of Oz went to shit.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
exactly
how it
that.
Would look.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Yeah, I thought it looked great.
Yeah. So Dracula takes Harker to his bedroom, and sort of returns afterwards, like, well, you're giving him like key to a library and such. But he also has a bit of a perv of a picture of Harker's wife to be, Lucy.
Yep.
Right, I say, what's a fine piece of tossy, and away he goes.
Yeah.
And he's got to go somewhere unexplained until tomorrow evening, and then he locks Harker in his bedroom.
Yep.
Yeah.
This. I'm just going to interject. This starts Hammer's tradition of naming people weirdly.
Because
in this, his fiancée is called Lucy, but in the book and in pretty much everything else, she's called Mina.
Yeah.
But in this, it's Lucy's his fiance, and Lucy's best friend is called Mina.
That's right, yeah.
Right? And it goes off for other films' adaptations. They swap them around. Like in, I think, Frankenstein, Baron Frankenstein is always called Baron Frankenstein. His assistant's called Victor. And it's like, just why are you doing that?
Do you think it's more of a trying to attract the Anglo-Saxon audience?
I don't know. I think they're being hilarious. It's like, anyone that's read this is going to have a fucking cackle at this. And from this point on, every protagonist in their film is called fucking Paul. You watch any of them, it's like, oh, Paul.
Can you imagine the outrage in 1958, you know, without Twitter or anything like that?
Or Bram Stoker's widow just fucking...
just like sending so many telegrams.
Just feverishly on the fucking...
Yeah.
What a fucking wall, lads. A message with Morse code.
1958 with what we did.
Fucking didn't. It was telegrams. Of course it was.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's
pages.
Smoke signals.
Yeah, smoke signals. No, it's torches. You know, like a bit in... I don't know if you've ever seen the film 2012... It's terrible.
Yes, it is.
Basically, the way that there's like some fucking like Chinese sort of tribe almost that have a warning system of when the it's used in various things like Game of Thrones. I don't know really why I picked 2012, but fuck it, I'm in it now. And they light these little torch things, and then some dude sees a torch has been lit, so he lights his torch, and the message goes along that
way.
Could be that shit.
2012 was the film where they recreate the way Princess Diana died, and then afterwards they said, an actual bit of dialogue, this is exactly the way Princess Diana died. Yeah. Like a car crash in the tunnel in Paris. So like very beginning of the film, like the first like little bit, and then they said afterwards, yeah, this is exactly how Princess Diana died in 1997.
Jesus Christ, speaking of painful Roland Emmerich moments, I've got one saved up for later, but do continue.
Oh, fair enough. We'll look forward to that one. Yeah, so he locks the door, but then Harker reveals in his diary he's there to kill Dracula. But like in the daytime, because, you know, it's a lot more sensible, you know, sunlight and such.
Daytime,
of course, yeah. So anyway, we'll go back to our vampire woman.
Yep.
Who's called Vampire Woman.
And she's also overacting terribly in this sequence.
Oh, please believe me. Why won't you believe me? Please.
Although she, you know, refuses to give a reason why, you know, Jack is holding her captive.
Yeah.
She speaks very vaguely.
Just possibly vaguely enough so that nothing's given away and we drag the film out for an extra 20 minutes.
It just reminds me of, like... a middle manager or something.
Oh, Jesus, what the...
So, if you could put all your boats in a row...
liaise about it, we'll touch base later.
Liaise. We'll have a meeting for a meeting to decide when you're going to save me after the next meeting.
Yeah, the pre-meet.
Yeah, well, we'll have a pre-meet first. And...
fuck me. It's like a chartered
accountant. And hopefully the output is you'll save me, and the outcome is... I love you.
Yeah. What?
Anyway, she's a vampire.
Yeah,
because she is a vampire. Her name is Vampire Woman.
Yeah.
Which means she's a woman and also a vampire.
Okay.
Correct.
So she goes for Harker, but then Dracula makes the run-in, makes the save, interference, and walks away and drags her off.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Literally drags her, drags her off by her.
And, say he drags her off, he also chokes out Harker, which, sorry, Rob, not with a cord from a lamp or anything like that. You just with his bare hands, so you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Less of a kink, that one. Yeah. I don't think there's much of a community for that.
One quick note that I've got thus far, and this is kind of exclusive to the nature of the format I was watching it on. If you ever get a chance to check out the Blu-ray restoration, 2012, it's lovely. Really crisp.
Yeah.
Really crisp, but not too crisp so that it sanitises it and exposes its flaws. It's really, really nice restoration. Sorry. Just
wanted to say that.
That's all right. Do you work for BFI or something?
No, well, there's the Hammer restoration, so I'd work for them and no, I don't. Continue.
Okey-dokey, man. So Hark wakes up, having, you know, been locked in again, has been bitten, so he sort of knows that he's done for. So he writes in his diary, you know, what he's going to do.
I have become a victim of Dracula and the woman in his power. It may be that I am doomed to be one of them. If that is so, I can only pray that whoever finds my body will possess the knowledge. To do what is necessary to release my soul. I have lost a day. Soon it will be dark. While my senses are still my own, I must do what I set out to do. I must find the resting place of Dracula and there end his existence forever.
And away he goes, while he's still at his own faculties, to kill him off. And he goes into a basement, and for some reason he decides, oh, there's Dracula there, laid out or exposed, but there's Vampire Woman.
I'll stake the woman
first. With his
boiling fucking padding, that is.
Yeah, with logic being somehow that she's going to get stabbed on. What, is she going to stay silent? Or if she screams, is Dracula just not going to hear her? You know, he sleeps during the day. He's not like bloody deaf.
I have to say...
Got his earbuds in.
Yeah.
That is a little bit contrived.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's very contrived,
that.
Yeah.
That fucking grandma gears that did.
Yeah, that's the most contrived thing I've come across with his podcast, actually.
It might be,
yeah,
because it's so fucking obvious.
It's not even like convoluted or anything like that. It's just
stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, you just weigh up your options, don't you? You're like, right, well, he's got like strength 10, she's got strength 6, I've got strength 8. Better tag him out while I can.
Yeah.
Get the stealth bonus.
Yeah.
And then go for her.
Yeah.
She seems more inclined to sort of just mate with him, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say suck him off.
Oh, your humour is just getting into the lowest common denominator.
Because I've been around you two dickheads too much.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Ooh. Stairs are there, will they? Off you pop.
You sure that's...
Fight!
You sure that's water?
Yeah. Any road.
Swingers.
So, yeah, Dracula wakes up.
Yeah.
Dracula. And he's mad as shit. Snarling with his bad teeth.
Mm.
Lady Vampire is dead, and it's revealed that she is just an old lady.
Yeah. She is, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's an old lady now and a bit dead herself. So.
Yeah, dead old lady, I'll clarify. But
And now Hark is dead as well, so... Yeah.
Dracula's up and at the lad here, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
proper going after
I think him. This is the first time in the film where he actually exits the room so he can dramatically re-enter for banter points. He gets out of his coffin, he's like, this is going to be a fucking giggle. And then he goes upstairs, hides behind a corner, waits for Harker to realise he done fucked big time, and then goes, hey! At the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny.
Great fucking banter.
Yeah, yeah. Drax.
Good old Drax. He loves it, doesn't he?
So he's just burping through pizza.
So the next little bit we've got, it's fucking... Is it Peter fucking Cushing time?
It is, yeah.
It's time! It's Cushing time!
He looks almost too healthy in this film. I didn't recognise him.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Yeah, here he is, playing Van Helsing.
Yeah, or Van Cushing.
Basically, yeah. And he arrives upon a very stiff upper lip British German pub.
Very British German pub with a lot of fucking garlic knocking about the place.
Yeah.
It's pretty cliche, isn't
it? Yeah, a little bit.
Is a bit. And it turns out that Harcourt left his diary there.
Yeah.
And the owner wanted to dump it, but his wife saved it just because.
Would I want his wife, mate? Punching above his weight there a bit, isn't he?
She was a cook, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's a maid.
Oh.
Or something like that, maid cook thing. Mm. Stupid girl.
Well.
It's basically what he says to her repeatedly.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that owner's hitting right though, isn't he?
I moving on.
Yep, moving on. Van Helsing goes to the castle and he goes into Harker's bedroom and it's just absolutely trashed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. And so this is where in the basement we find out that old Boo Bravella herself, a vampire woman, she's now an old lady in dust.
Yeah.
And that Harker's a vampire. So,
yep.
Although I don't think we actually see it, do we? But he has to tag him out.
He stakes him, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He tags him out.
Just all these really awkward fades to black, we didn't know it was edited originally.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
So then Helsing's back at home, where that is.
Somewhere else in Germany.
Yeah, somewhere else in Germany. I don't think they actually say where they live. With the Harkers, well, he was set to be married to Lucy is the name here, Armwood. So Helsing's talking to her brother and sister-in-law.
He's right. Very fucking confused at this point. I just kind of took it for granted everyone was related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was at this point as well I started to get really, like, the pacing started to really sort of draw my attention. Like, it gets very clunky and it gets very dragged out at this point. And it's kind of like there's a lot of padding for a film that's like 80-odd minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
There is, yeah.
Shout out to Michael Goff, though. Alfred.
Oh, yeah.
From Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. Yeah, you recognise them, he is a mile off.
Yeah, there he is.
Some stellar performances from him in this film. Big fan of Hugging the Wall.
Yeah.
Crying slightly 2 seconds after your cue.
Yep.
Just wonderful
strong
stuff.
Game, yeah.
Yeah.
And we get to the sort of point here where old Harker's missus seems to be a bit weird in a bit of a trance-like state.
Looking a bit wan, isn't she?
Yeah, and it's sort of revealed that she's got bite marks on her neck.
Mm-hmm.
So she has been bitten by a vamp.
Well, we don't know that until when the coast is clear after she's been seen to.
Mm-hmm.
She opens her windows to invite Dracula in for a bit of neck rummage.
Neck rummage? Necrophilia.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Top shelf, yeah.
Thank you.
Not bad.
Necrophilia in a minute, mate.
Hey, you should be so lucky.
Just settle down.
So while Lucy carries on, it's basically an affair. I said, you know, her husband's now dead, so.
That's the obvious implication.
Yeah. I think that's the subtext going on.
Shit is raunchy.
But while that's going on, Van Helsing's listening back to a radio recording of himself about Dracula, or vampires as a whole, you know, the myth of them.
Checking his notes about what he already knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For exposition,
I don't know who listens back to their own voice, but, you know, I don't know. So, when are you editing this, by the way?
You what? Fans.
Yeah. They do a couple of things here. I think, is this a bit where they're saying, no, vampires can actually turn into bats and...
They say something about him changing form.
Yeah.
Because they mention it later on. They don't say he's going to turn into a bat. They can...
Yeah, or say, like, he can't actually change into form.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He can fly.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing of the more convoluted sort of aspects of a vampire that we've, like, seen in different forms before.
Yeah.
And then back with Lucy, who gets some more... Bomb Dracula.
Just get some more.
Yeah, so any way you can describe it. I can't remember the name of the actress now, the way she acts it out, it's very hypersexualized, isn't
it? Yeah, it is very much so.
Yeah.
Is it around this point or just after when Van Helsing pops in some garlic in her room.
Yeah, this is next.
That's going mental.
Yeah, the next day, she hasn't been told the news that her fiancé is dead, but she's guessed it.
Yeah.
Or Dracula's mentioned it, in between mouthfuls of her neck.
Oh, by the way, your boy Harker, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. He fell down some stairs.
Yeah. But he's getting very sort of by the numbers now at this stage. It's like, he's very much, do this scene so that we can get to this scene, and then do this scene, and it's very oddly paced, and it's kind of like, the film feels like it's just trying to get to the end.
Yeah, it's just lumbering along.
Yeah, I think, because already in 1958, the story has been told a few times.
Exactly.
It's struggling at this moment to really bring anything new to the table apart from flicking red at Dracula's coffin. And a bit of boob. That's about all they've got to offer so far. Nothing's really jumping out at me. This bit's good, that bit's good.
I would suggest that if this film wasn't in colour, if it was in black and white, it would have been forgotten. You know, it's only notable because of its use of colour and because of the odd iconic moment from Christopher Lee and a fairly decent performance.
There's genuinely not... You can probably count on one fucking finger the amount of good Dracula films there are. The Bela Lugosi one isn't that great. It's got some spooky moments. The Spanish version that is literally a shot-for-shot remake same year is better. It's all right. Abbott and Costello Meet Dracula's all right. But obviously the best one is Nosferatu, isn't it?
Yeah. Questionable on the old copyright front.
Yeah.
Okay, but it is.
It's in the public domain now.
It is, I think.
It's just Dracula, isn't it? And would that be the first rendition of a story on screen, Nosferatu? Because I think in terms of copyright law, Bram Stoker, it would have still been about 75 years after Bram Stoker died. It still would have been within that realm, wouldn't it? When Nosferatu was made. So that was like 1923, I think. So
I think it's the first one,
So, it is Dracula. It's just, it was within that 75-year copyright period. That's all it was, And, I don't think anything's ever really topped it, which is rather pretentious to say. Yeah, a film from 1923, a silent German expressionist film from 1923 is the best version. But
It's not a pretentious statement, I don't think. It's just no one's really got the atmosphere right.
No,
it's still creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy. It's atmospheric.
Yeah.
You know, it's paced well, it's told well, whereas I just don't think anything, you know, they've tried to embellish it in like dozens and dozens of films since, and it's just...
I'm trying to think of other good Dracula films.
Well, Nosferatu's been remade again.
Or is there another one coming?
There's another one coming out.
Interesting, okay.
Next year,
I haven't seen the Werner Herzog one. Is that any
apparently
good?
It's quite good. I've not seen it either.
Yeah.
Have I seen that one?
It's 1978, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then The Shadow of the Vampire, which is pretty interesting. But
Shadow of the Vampire is pretty good.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Have I seen the one? I think I've seen the Herzog version, but it's been so long I couldn't actually tell you anything about it.
And then there's Bram Stoker's Dracula with...
I do remember a bit of it now. Yeah, the Herzog one's very slow paced, as you'd expect. It's too glacial for my liking.
Glacial?
Yeah.
Tectonic, I like it.
Right, back on track, I guess.
Back on track, then.
Yeah.
So Van Helsing takes a look at Lucy and for a second opinion, and he instructs the family to... load the room full of garlic and close the windows and keep them shut, you know, between the hour, is it midnight and 6 a.m. something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So the next night Lucy's like really fighting and like literally like throws one of the vases of garlic across to get the attention of our German maid.
Yeah.
Who is a complete dumbass.
Yes.
Because
she's called Gerda.
Yeah, Gerda.
I found that hilarious.
She looks after the child as well, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Because there's an annoying child in the background. Costa fucking has to be an annoying child in the background.
Her name's Gerda. She's built like a Gerda. And Lucy's like, Gerda, can you completely ignore the doctor's advice and get rid of this garlic and open windows? And Gerda's like, okay. And so The windows are open. Lucy again acts like a crack addict on the brink of orgasm. And she's dead.
She did.
Yep. And next the maid morning. Gets a fucking rumping about it. She absolutely does. I'm really sorry. I just thought she needed confession.
Yeah. But then she obviously turns into a vampire and she pinches the annoying child, mm-hmm. does one with it.
Did they give her a blood transfusion? Or is that the other bird?
No, that's your one later on. Well, first of all, we have revealed that Aunt Lucy's still alive because the little girl, Tanya, I think her name is, comes in and claims that Aunt Lucy, like, here and, like, walked with her early one in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I think they genuinely made that kid cry somehow.
Probably give her a good slap before it. And action. It was 1958, standards were different.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to film this dog dying? Shoot it.
No, not the doggo.
Not the dog, it's 1958.
Anything but the doggo. But, yeah, the next scene after that, they use the small girl as bait, which is rather nice of them, isn't it? Yeah, let's endanger this 7-year-old girl.
Yeah.
For our own means. So they entrap Lucy in a graveyard. Let's Helsing and... And Arthur, the brother-in-law to Lucy. Is it just brother? Either or.
And Alfred.
Alfred. And they see that Lucy... they go back and see that Lucy's in a coffin.
Yeah.
She's like... We've got the cross burnt on her hand for some reason. Can't remember why now.
It's because earlier on, when she's in the bedroom before she turns, someone... passes her across or trucks across to her and she catches it.
No, that's Mina. Hand. That's later on. That's the other bird that gets vampired.
Oh, fucking hell, you're joking.
No, I'm not.
I thought that was this one because then she had the burnt hand.
Oh, sorry, I've misread my note here. It says head, not hand.
Yeah, it's head.
Right. Yeah.
She
gets burnt on her head with a cross. Right, yeah.
See what happens? Terence Fisher, you swap some names around thinking you're being funny. Now we don't know who's who, do we? All I know that Alfred is Alfred and Grand Moff Tarkin is... Talking, that's all I know.
And stop fucking doing the exact same shit to two different women that look exactly the same. Like, burn a cross on one of them, not both of them.
Yeah.
Give your audience a chance, dickhead.
Of course. Will you take that child home and then meet me back here in about an hour's time? That's all right. Nearly dawn. She won't leave the coffin again.
Is there no other way? But it's horrible.
Please try and understand. This is not Lucy, the sister you loved. It's only a shell, possessed and corrupted by the evil of Dracula. Liberate her soul and give it eternal peace. We must destroy that shell for all time. Believe me, there is no other way.
Yeah, so anyway, Lucy's dead for good then, at that point.
Yeah.
Then they get a bit more of an info dump. This is like where the pace really starts to drag.
Fucking because wading through treacle now.
Because they now do this like all unnecessary sequence where Alfred and Van Helsing do an investigation on like where Dracula's coffin, you know, confirming it came into shore. Where has it gone? So they go to Ingolstadt to go have an argument with the bureaucratic post office guy, and it goes nowhere apart from a weird little side joke towards the end.
This, by the way, the travel and the geography here is like getting to Mummy Returns levels of ridiculous.
Oh, he's fucking piss take, man.
It's just everyone's just fucking bezzing around all over the place.
Yeah, it's like Ingolstadt's like the other side of Germany, I think, from where they're supposed to be.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Just to go to a post office.
Yeah.
For a guy that runs a toll booth or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's like supposed to be border control, but it's just like...
It's some fucking bellend and a nightcap, isn't it?
Basically,
basically.
So while they're away, a young John Cusack appears to tell Mina, because we've swapped the names around, of course, that Alfred is waiting for her in a mysterious, spooky location. But wait a minute, my husband's away in Ingolstadt. How can he be if he gave him this message?
Oh, that's it. We travel real fast back in this period.
Yeah. Flying all over the place, mate. It's the information super fucking highway, isn't it?
Well, like, information super hot and cat.
Hey.
So, yeah, let's skip the whole bribery bollocks thing in Ingolstadt.
Yeah, he drops some Benjamin Franklins on a spike. I don't know what that means.
It just adds nothing to it.
Yeah, no. Absolute fuck all.
If people came into the shop and started putting money on spikes, I'd be like, well, you just fucked it. That's worthless now.
Yeah. Mm.
But that's just me.
I'm afraid that is quite out of the question, sir, against regulation.
All we want to know is where the coffin was going.
I cannot give away information without proper authority.
This is a matter of great urgency. I am a doctor.
I'm sorry, sir. You've got to have permission from the ministry in writing. But I have my orders and I must obey them. It is laid down in the government regulations that under no circumstances may an unauthorized person be permitted to examine. Of course, in the case of an emergency, we do sometimes make an exception. And seeing this gentleman is a doctor.
So, Mina meets with Dracula in the weird... Well, I think Dracula's in the coffin.
In the spook house.
Yeah. Spooky house.
Spooked
and... Dracula gives her a bit of a nibble as well.
Yep.
Because he does, well, saucy minx.
Indicated by when we go back home, when Alfred and Van Helsing are back home, and we don't even realise that, you know, Mina's not even there until she shows up in a nice, convenient neck garment.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, it becomes clear to me that Peter Cushing is fucking carrying this film. Like,
yep.
His acting's a bit over the top at times, but his screen presence, like, he fucking leaps off the screen.
He's a fucking magnet in that big coat and that big hat, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's literally holding the shit together, man. Yeah. He really is.
Yeah. I think this is the scene where Mina appears and they're asking her questions about what's happened, where she's been and stuff. And she's being a bit cagey about everything. But apparently the director, when he was directing the scene, it's a first one-take wonder sort of thing. And he said to her, deliver your lines like you've literally just been out and had the best sex of your life all night. And that's how she delivers it. I read the trivia before and I was like, that's pretty fucking risky for 1958.
Yeah.
And that's how it comes across.
Yeah.
So easily.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just all about cheating, mate.
Yeah, mate. Dirty cheaters.
Next, they... go searching some coffins. It's more filler at this point. And, like, we're talking about an hour now into a 80-minute film.
Yeah.
And they're going around searching for coffins, and there's, like, one in the corner where there's a stand without a coffin on it. Thought, oh, it must be that one then.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Great.
And then...
Brilliant.
They bez off to the forest next, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Where we have a cameo from the owl from Blair Witch 2.
Excellent.
Mm.
Same owl, very similar, very mechanical.
Yep.
Noted that. Nice to have that link between episodes, I suppose.
If you really want, yeah.
And then they find the wife, don't they? Post Dracula in, as it were.
Yes, mate.
And then they decide to do a blood transfusion.
Well, no, you missed a bit there because what happens is.
Yeah, do a test on her, mate.
Well, I'm not even sure it's a test. They ask for her own protection, that she walks on at all times with a cross. Yeah. So they put it in a hand. Yeah. This, and it definitely says hand in my notes here. It doesn't say head.
And this
kill hands.
Yeah, and it burns her to buggery, and she faints.
Yes, right.
I hate this scene. You know, in like Looney Tunes and Warner Brothers cartoons, where people, the like Bugs Bunny whispers in someone's ear, and it's like, and someone's in the background like,
ooh,
pretending they can't hear. They're literally 2 meters away from it. And they're like, this is how we're going to fuck up Dracula. Darling, what are you talking about? Nothing, don't worry about it. Man business here. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rip his knackers off, pull his teeth out, and then stab him in the dick. Darling, what are you talking about? Just a second, love. It's just so naff.
Yeah, it is. And it's really, like, I quite liked some things about the first half of this film. Like, mm-hmm. I quite like the setup. I quite like the production design. I quite mm-hmm. like the soundtrack. But at this point, it's all just tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tired, mm-hmm. and it's fucking. It shot its load way too early, in terms of, like, you know, the knobs and whistles and the yeah, sets yeah. And the use of Scarlet. Nothing's effective anymore because no. they've just used it over and over again. Like, everything's so repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it is quite draining.
There's been all the blood shots and stuff within the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, there's been nothing since, mm-hmm. unless it's been taken out of the version I watched on Vimeo. Because I'm a cheapskate, as we've established.
That's where I watched it, man.
Sorry. Anyway, Rob. They're man whispering. The plan is to use her as bait, because they love using women as bait in all their plans.
Yep, that's fair.
This time they're going to catch Dracula in the action of rummaging her.
Oh my god. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you go get rummage.
Yeah, but for some reason, during the planning, though, you know, she's clearly in the bedroom all along.
Yeah.
They feel compelled to go outside and being drawn out there.
Just fucking around outside.
They're just fucking around outside and completely miss the cue.
There's the sight of Michael Goff just staggering around in some fake bushes, yes. looking yeah. really confused, getting spooked by bats.
Yeah, and this is where the owl comes in as well.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
shit, an owl. Oh, shit, a bat. Meanwhile, inside, Dracula appears through the doorway.
Yep.
That pop, 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 sort of.
Dracula, Dracula, yeah. Halloween, alien resurrection. Carry on with
it. Mummy returns.
Oh, Mummy's Alive, mate. Do you remember Mummy's Alive, the cartoon?
No, I don't.
Mummy's Alive. It had your quintessential, like, 90s rock song.
Nice.
Animated kids show. I'll play it later for you.
Yeah, do that.
I mean, no theme song's going to be Biker Mice and Mars, is it?
Kind of the same thing.
Well, okay.
Mm. Yeah, heavy metal gummy bears. Carry nice. On.
Beautiful. Yeah, so we completely miss her cue, and Dracula bites Mina, and now she's dead. Well, right. almost.
Yep.
This is where they have to do a bit of a blood transfusion.
Yep.
To save her. And, I mean, why they didn't think of this with Lucy, I don't know. Although, they're probably a bit too late with Lucy, to be fair.
He's not even a real doctor.
No.
No real doctor.
You're a doctor of what? Oh, agriculture.
Oh, okay, great. Help my horse then, again. So, yeah, they do the blood transfusion action.
Yeah.
And that kind of runs its course.
It does. And then the return of the dumbass German maid who, while she was caring for Lucy,
mm-hmm.
I mean, she's told to go down to the basement for something. I know.
Something innocuous.
Yeah, a pair of glasses or something. Who cares?
Gerda, can you go and find me some plot in the basement, please? Right, cheers.
And she says, oh, Lucy told me to never go down into a basement because blah, blah, blah. And the rest of them are like, oh, he's down there all along, for
music
fuck's
drop.
Sake.
Ba, ba.
Dracula. Fucking Hans Zimmer on the soundtrack.
I want you to know Dracula is down there waiting for Alfred to appear so he can
second
go.
Second moment where he's left the room purposefully so he can come back in and scare him. He looks like a man that has just come back from a sneaky shit. Yeah. Where he pokes his head in that door, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Do you think he was the guy who did the sneaky shit in the toilet in Paranormal Activity 2?
Christopher Lee dropping cable.
So is this the bit where we get Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee head-to-head for the first time, properly, when they have a dust-up?
He's right off.
Yeah, so
he just fucking runs off.
Yeah, Jack goes, ha ha, closes the door on Alfred and runs off.
But there's loads of faff, though, isn't it, at this point, where basically Peter Cushing's trying to find him, and they're kind of like, I know it's been done to death, but it's all a bit fucking Scooby Doo with people chasing each other around a fucking spooky castle.
We're not playing the clip.
No, we're not playing the clip, it's fine, but it is like that.
We might play the Flintstones, though.
Yeah, and.
Done.
And it's like, you know, they do come together eventually, don't they?
Yeah.
And have a dust up.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to travel to the other side of this magic country have a big dust up, I think, don't he?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
this is what we're coming down to our grand finale chase scene, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
And.
Ooh, carriage chase.
Yeah, and nice. A good old fashioned.
I like a carriage chase.
Yeah, yeah. Not really. Comic relief as well. Fucking yeah. Yes, mate.
Ben Hur, it isn't, though.
No, it isn't. Not like really. Benny Hill and Ben Hur, mate.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Thank you. It actually is. I like it, yeah. Yeah. Give yourself a clap, bro.
I actually like sped up footage and everything.
Yeah.
So, Mira's taken away by Dracula.
Yeah.
And we get the big chase scene, which includes the weird interlude of the middle. Back to the dickhead postman with his barrier thing, and he gets run into twice.
Yeah.
Oh! Hey!
I don't know why it's in there.
It's distinctly 1950s traffic barrier. Yeah,
yeah. It's a climactic chase scene, and you've got this like weird little comedy moment in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bit too Marvel for me.
I was going to say this does action Marvel comedy better than Marvel does.
Yeah.
There's action and there's comedy in the same sequence.
It is quite accidental, though, isn't it? A lot of the comedy.
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has got a nightcap on. He looks like Winnie the Pooh. They keep breaking his barrier just after he's fixed it.
Yeah.
And the other carriage comes through. Fucking funny, that.
Yeah, just fucking... But I've nodded off so much at this point. Like, I think I literally might have nodded off for 10 minutes because I don't really remember that much about this carriage.
Oh, no, that's the best bit.
Other than it being a bit Benny Hill.
So the Benny Hill back to the Dracula's castle. And Dracula's about to win his Buried Alive match versus Mina. When Alfred and Van Helsing appear,
yeah,
and Dracula's reaction is to run away again, so it's more chasing, this time inside the big castle again.
Right. Points for that stunt woman.
Mm.
He literally chucks a woman in an hole,
yeah,
in a wide, it's fucking funny.
Can I ask you a question, though, at this Ooh. Point? Right. It was established earlier, in the Jonathan Harker scenes, that Dracula... Because he is undead, he is quite powerful, he's quite strong, and he easily overpowers Harker and lobs him about the place.
Yeah.
So, why the fuck is he running from Peter Cushing, who looks like he's made out of glass?
Yeah. Just two old men chasing him around.
Yeah.
Why would you not fuck him up?
It's very strange.
He's just running away.
Very strange. Doesn't make any sense. Again, it's padding.
I mean, all I can think was he was trying to... trick him into something again inside the castle. He just never gets around to it.
Yeah, like Home Alone style traps.
Yeah, instead he goes for his one move, which is a chokehold. He's been at rescuing school. He's tried to learn the power driver. He's tried to learn the DDT, but he just goes back to that choke.
All of us
like Randy Orton and his fucking sleeper hold. So Dracula fails in like trying to bite Van Helsing. And then Helsing jumps on the table and goes, "Ooh, curtains. Ooh, sunrise."
Yeah.
And
I'll put these two together.
It gives the curtains a good hard yank and reveals the sunlight, which, well, Dracula, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite liked the idea of the effects of him
special
being
effects
up.
Are lovely.
Yeah, but I just feel, I guess because it's 1958 and we just didn't have time to mess around with doing more like frames in between, we just felt like they could have done a couple more instead of just like even a before, a sort of then and after.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen any of the sequels to this, but how do they explain that shit away? He turns to fucking dust at the end.
Yeah, he does. Well, I think it's the second one is called
Dust of Dracula.
Dust of Dracula. Dracula, Prince of Darkness, that's it.
Right.
And a bunch of fucking bellends decide to spend the night in his house. And then they all, like, cut their fingers open and drip their blood into the coffin that's full of his dust. Because someone put his dust in a fucking coffin. I would have just fucking Dysoned the cunt up, to be honest.
Yeah.
Bend him. But yeah, that's how he gets resurrected.
That's fucking pony, isn't it?
Yeah. At least it wasn't like everyone like gets really upset that Dracula's dead and we all start crying and with his tears bringing back to life.
Yeah. I mean,
why would you bring up the Pokemon movie? That's the third reference I've heard to that today. It's like,
he's fucking obsessed, mate.
I cannot believe you got that.
It's because I've heard it twice already today.
Anyhow, back to business.
Yes, mate.
What I will say is a positive about this sort of closing sequence is the makeup effects on Dracula's face, especially.
So you've seen the restored version. Yeah. We didn't see that.
They're really good. Mm. Well worth a watch, definitely.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's gone to Tagsville, hasn't he? He's out. and the evil's vanquished. All is right in the world.
Yeah.
Fucking Finn.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Mina's, like, consoled in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it, yeah. So, the end. Then you got, like, about 20 seconds of credits just to recap who played who. Mm-hmm.
Job done.
Job done.
Job's a good one.
Finn.
Finn indeed.
So, how we're feeling about Dracula then? Shall we start with you, Dave?
It's really slow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the reason that generally I don't like Dracula adaptations in much at all, because they're so slow. Nosferatu is a brisk walk in the park compared to this.
Mm.
Same thing happens with the Coppola Dracula in the 90s. It's just a fucking tedious, foppish twattery.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder why do they keep doing the same story? Surely Dracula as a concept, it works, but why does
works
it always
in Buffy?
Yeah, I'd say it works in Buffy, yeah.
In that one episode?
Yeah. I mean, they expand on it on the comics.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes,
well, there you go, the expanded universe as well.
Yeah.
If they
can have the idea of Dracula and then just do something else with him instead of just trying to tell this same old, oh, yeah, I'm a librarian, I'm off to the castle, oh, shit. And then in comes someone else and then we go back to the normal hometown and blah.
Yeah. I just really like the idea of Dracula as a monster.
I do.
I think even in Blade Trinity, he's got a nicer sort of introduction where he gets dug up from this Egyptian cavern underneath a pyramid and he's like this absolute primal beast that just tears people apart and he's always just fucking hungry and he's mental.
Yeah.
I quite like that. And in Nosferatu, he's a monster as well, out and out.
Yeah.
And just like the fucking gentrified Dracula.
They have.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bela Lugosi one is okay. It's a bit dull. But this is so tedious.
That entrance, though, of Christopher Lee's is fucking...
Oh, it's iconic.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I think it's great. As a franchise, there's loads of nice little moments here and there. Even, like, Satanic Rites of Dracula when he's in Brooklyn and stuff and fighting hippies. There's nice moments here and there. But at the same time, like, there's just something about the Hammer horror films which, if you put them alongside, say, Mask of the Red Death and stuff like that, which is coming out at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's all this horror that's in colour for the first time and it's all intended to be trash.
Yeah.
It is hot Roger Corman trash.
Yeah, they're just playing with the new toys, aren't they, basically?
Yeah, basically. But the American stuff is a lot faster paced, it's a lot more satisfying, a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
And it's in a similar vein, so I don't know why the Hammer stuff just falls flat, and every Hammer film pretty much has the issue.
Yeah.
Where the pacing's just...
Yeah.
Snail's pace.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure. All the main characters are rich, upper-class people in, like, yeah. Edwardian times or whatever.
Yeah.
And just, I don't like anyone.
No.
It's like they've all got pool cleaners. I can't relate to these people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no one can tie the shoelaces.
No.
No, I can't.
How are you feeling, Roberto?
I mean, I feel a bit more down on it now we've talked about it, to be honest with you. I thought the first half was kind of, I enjoyed for the reasons that I've sort of already spoken about. The second half is really convoluted and really contrived and really, really dull. It's a slog. It feels like a 2.5 hour film.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's only an hour and 26 minutes or whatever it is interesting, to say the least. That would be my take.
Yeah. My take would be, I mean, I did enjoy it once upon a time, but...
Wilson, can you put your arm down? Your veins are actually threatening me right now.
Sorry.
The veins on your hand. I think we're going to get pregnant in a minute. Stop it.
Oh, bloody hell. Just trying to attract Dracula. Dracula, I feel.
Draglia.
It's Dracula. Dracula.
That Rob Zombie song.
That Rob Zombie song.
We're not playing that either.
No, you're right.
The thing is, it's just, I've seen so many variations of the Dracula story. Uh-huh. I've even seen it told in the middle of, the Peace Gardens in Sheffield, and... I've read, like, new novel versions of it, like, I think you recommended me Fangland, Rob, once upon a time.
You did, yeah. Did you read it?
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Ah, fuck off.
Yeah, how about we set it after 9/11, but then do nothing with the story? instead of a dive, it's just a newspaper reporter. We just literally do the same thing otherwise. Yeah, it's not very good.
Okay.
I think that John Cobbs was attached to...
He was, correct.
To me. Yeah. That's why he recommended it to me. He dodged the bullet there. I don't find the story very interesting anymore, and there's nothing about the film filmically that's up to much.
No.
I mean, even the whole red and the whole boob thing is a bit overplayed. There's not really much in there. I mean, they probably get a bit more gratuitous later on if I remember rightly, but
there's a few cards in their deck, a few solid cards, and they just have to play on them, and the rest of it is fluff.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because there's good vampire films. Lots of good vampire films. John Carpenter's Vampires, mate. James Woods.
Yes, yeah, that is a very good one. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a roller coaster. That is good fun.
You're right, it is, mate.
But, like, I don't know where... The point is, they just add these plot elements that are from the original Dracula. It's like, right, Harker, Mina, Van Helsing, and somehow... Just adding those little bits just makes it all go to shit.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just turgid, isn't it?
Yep.
Speaking of turgid. Yeah, popcorn and turd ratings, Dave? Start with turds.
I think it's shit in many ways, but at the same time, there's a few iconic moments. Set design is lovely. Music is lovely, and the general sort of glaze over it of quality is quite high, I think.
Mm, yeah.
And it's quite an impressive looking film.
Sure.
So I'm gonna stack 7 turds on it.
No, okay.
Based on personal enjoyment.
Mm.
Yeah.
But there are some very good elements to it.
Yeah.
And
popcorn rating?
2.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's gone in hard.
I was bored to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flavourless popcorn.
Absolutely.
Half it's unpopped.
It's stale. Yeah.
Stale's fuck.
Yeah. Broken my teeth on a few unpopped bits, you're right.
Oh
yeah.
My god. Oh dear.
Yep.
Rob, turds, popcorn?
Turds. I did love the production design of it.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that ridiculous over the top red that they use. In Hammer films, I did love the score for the most part, although it got really repetitive in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
6 turds for me.
Ooh.
6 turds.
Going high on the turd for rating?
Yeah, I mean, you know, those elements can't forgive the second half of it, which was literally like pulling teeth at times. In terms of popcorn, 5.
Jesus.
Mm.
Maybe.
You had a good time. And you just taking a load of shots of adrenaline or something?
No, I mean, I had a really good time with the first half of it. And I was on for a decent popcorn rating. I was really into the performances. But it's just fucking rubbish that second half. Yeah. So I can't go any higher than that, I'm afraid. Christopher Wilson.
Shall I deliver mine as well?
Deliver.
Uh-huh. Get shoveling.
So, third rating, I'm going to go with a 5.
Okay.
Okay,
All I could say, it is what it is. It's just so average in every way.
Yeah.
You know, even as an older film primarily on a soundstage, it's just there. And I'm not a bigger fan of Light V Productions than as you are, Bob. I don't think it's just... I don't find anything special about it, and they quite clearly could have pinched all those props from like other films of the time and such. I don't think it didn't bring anything new to the table, I didn't think.
If you compare it to the Universal stuff from 20 years earlier, it's not as good.
It's not, no. I agree with that,
No, it's just not the same level.
No. Popcorn rating, I'll go with 5 as well. It's just so average. It's average to a point of just being dull.
Yeah.
Did you pick it with good memories of it, or did you pick it not remembering it too well?
I actually picked it with pretty decent memories of it.
Yeah,
I went through the Hammer Horror films about 8 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few of them, not all of them, because there's a fuckload of them. But around Halloween time, I think I must have watched about 10, 15 of them, and very decent memories of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably turns out I feared like the Mummy and the Frankenstein films a bit better.
Yeah.
So
there was a bit more happening in them, I think.
There was, yeah. Yeah, is there nothing else really to say about that, really?
Yeah.
Quite an average pick in many sense of a word.
Yeah. Sorry. They've all got to get done, though, haven't they?
Yeah, of course they have. So I guess it's time to find out what we're doing next. And you're doing double duty in the chair. The next one is you as well.
Am I doing double duty, or are we swapping?
Well, that's what I mean. You will be doing double duty for the next episodes.
Because it's this one, and then it's the next one.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it's me again. Just to explain why, because the next episode is number 25, which, quarter of a century of the way through, I thought it was a worthwhile milestone to celebrate.
So you've got quite a few options here, haven't you, Willie?
How are we going to celebrate this milestone?
Well, what we're going to do, because we're also nearing the one-year anniversary, is for the first time ever on podcast, we're actually going to revisit a film series that we've already done.
Oh, my Jesus.
Somehow, in over 24 episodes, we've found different film series to do. So,
are you going to completely swerve and say Rob Zombie's Halloween Part 2? Because I need someone to be able to sit on that chair. He's going to break that chair otherwise.
I was so tempted, so tempted. But I thought we'd go back to the beginning. Obviously, episode one's Alien Resurrection.
Yeah.
So I thought for the next one, this is where there's a lot of tension, because you're both now thinking, is he going to say Alien Covenant or Alien 3? What's it going
to
be?
Oh, Alien versus Predator. I'd be happy with that, to be honest. Or Prometheus. You've got so much choice.
What am I going to go for? I've not even decided myself. I'm going to go Alien 3, I think.
Oh!
That'll be sassy, won't it?
Because I think...
Dave's dick is out.
That's going to be a very interesting episode, because I think our opinion is going to go against the popular consensus, shall we say.
It's going to be a long episode, that.
Yeah.
It will be, yeah. So, but for the first and probably only time ever, I'm sacrificing my normal pick, as it were, to...
That's a solid shout, though.
Celebrate number 25,
So I'm going to slip in after you then next.
Yep.
In the next set of recordings, as it were, or the next set of picks. And I'm going for a film that requires us to watch two films.
Interesting.
It is a 2015 sort of remake, but it's officially, according to Wikipedia, a meta sequel to the original. which was made in 1976.
Ooh, Wilson, make a guess.
Oh, it's a little bit niche, so I'd be surprised if you.
No, I'm not getting nothing, mate. Okay,
the film is called The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Ooh,
I don't know if you're really familiar with either of them.
Familiar with the name, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hidden gem, this one, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need to watch the '70s one and then the new one, because it's very meta.
Does it
very linked?
Does it have a haunted lamp in it?
the lamp.
You'll have to watch it and find out, won't you?
Ooh, I'm pretty hyped about that, mate.
That's
that
the reason
good.
The town dreaded sundown, because everyone turned the lamp on.
And then it's your pick as well, Dave.
It is my pick, and I quite like this new order. Should we keep this and see what happens?
Yeah, give it a shimmy-shango.
Okay, So my pick, since the last time I picked a sequel to a horror film and the sequel wasn't actually a horror film, it did really well.
Right.
So
you're going to do it again?
I'm going to do that again, mate.
Oh, you fucking...
Oh, no.
Yeah. We're going back to the motherfucking 90s. It's Roland Emmerich.
Oh.
It's Godzilla.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
I'm going deeper underground on that one,
mate. You fucking are. That film where Matthew Broderick is constantly surprised.
Yeah.
Fucking
no,
hell.
These worms. What?
Slight spoiler alert.
Yes.
Ahead of your episode.
Mm.
Guilty pleasure.
I watched it recently and I quite enjoyed it.
I prefer it to the Gareth Edwards one, Spicy Take.
Spicy Take. Have you seen it, Wilson?
Yeah, of course I have.
Of course I have. Yeah. Size matters, bro. Mate, recently, right?
Yeah,
I went on, you know, the Google Archive thing where you can look at websites from God knows when?
Yeah.
I went back to the Godzilla film website.
Oh, I bet that was off the chain.
It was hilarious. It had a little radar gif in the middle with a cartoon dinosaur face next to it. It was amazing.
Fucking sweet.
Can't order t-shirts no more, though. But that's what we're going to do, because Godzilla is a horror film. Apparently. I googled it, is Godzilla a horror film?
That counts.
Especially for Japanese.
Oh, wow. And another thing we're going to do around the next set of episodes as well is, because it's the 1 year anniversary, believe it or not, we're going to do our first ever awards ceremony.
Yeah.
What we're calling it, the Golden Turdies.
We're going to top up all of the shits and popcorns for the last year.
That's right, yeah. We're going to have a look back at our first year of films and give out a few awards to them.
Excellent. Okay. How are we going to do that, would you say? Are we doing it a few in every episode, or...?
I'm not entirely sure, actually. I was going to do it as a own standalone episode.
Oh, yeah,
possibly.
Like a Billy bonus.
Yeah.
Maybe a slim line half hour or something like that.
I mean, we edited, so you don't have to do anything. Oh, I can edit it instead.
We'll just talk real fast.
We'll just get it perfect first time.
Yeah. Well, we'll get it perfect first time every time.
What we do, about? Yeah, true. Happy days.
So that is it, then.
That is it, yeah. So thank you for listening once again, and hope you look forward to review of Alien 3 in a couple of weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been Chris, and it's goodbye from Dave. Goodbye from Rob. And goodbye from me. Bye. Bye. Bye, Dave.
You're in my fucking house now, motherfucker.
Bye, Rob.
Bye.
Bye, Dave. Bye.
Don't forget, you can follow us and keep up with all our updates, regular updates, possibly, maybe, hopefully, if Wilson gets his arse in gear, at Cinemortuary on Twitter, / Cinemortuary on Facebook, and of course at Cinemortuary on Instagram. I don't know how you do pictures of podcasts, but we're going to do that anyway.